It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the program. Thanks for joining us across Michigan here on this Friday, November 15th. This portion of the show brought to you by Wolverine Water Systems, Michigan's premier water treatment company, serving Michigan since 1947. Locally owned and operated, Wolverine delivers statewide. Get your free water test today by going to WolverineWaterSystems.com. Joining the phone lines now by Congressman Tim Walberg. Michigan's 7th Congressional District is what he represents. He represents me as well here in Hillsdale, Michigan, at Rep. Walberg on Twitter. Congressman, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Well, it's great to be with you, and glad to have a pro back on the line.
Well, yeah, every now and then, right? I'll ask about impeachment in a second, but I saw this tweet yesterday, and it reminded me of the governor's actions of about a month ago or so. Yesterday, Governor Whitmer here in Michigan made a big deal. They want to cut the number of opioid-related deaths in Michigan in half in the next 5 years. Hey, that's a great goal, a good target. But as you mentioned in your tweet just a month ago or so, the governor cut funding for a long-term opioid rehabilitation home in Jackson in your district, one that already is under construction, correct?
Right. They had a groundbreaking. The governor was there in Jackson. This is the first of its kind in the entire nation, a long-term housing, living situation for people who've come out of rehabilitation centers. They're on their way back. As you probably know, Scott, it's on average 6 to 7 emplacements in treatment facilities before a person finally starts to beat that opioid, heroin, fentanyl demon.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go right back in the community from which they came, where they probably had the challenging problem that brought it on, is a concern. So this facility was set up, a private entity, a foundation, Andy's Angels, put together to build this with some help from grants that were already approved by the last governor. New governor came in, had a groundbreaking for it, spoke at it, and then she vetoed the funding that would have started this construction. So I'm glad she's working toward reducing the number of opioids, but to just reduce it without the assistance needed, especially a project like this that could set a standard for the rest of the nation, was a great concern, and I hope she changes her mind.
Yeah, and that's a discussion among Michigan state legislators, and you were in Washington where the impeachment hearings began this week in the House. You saw what we saw on Wednesday. Did you learn anything new? Were there any oh-wow moments, or was this largely a rehash of things that we've been talking about and have known for months?
Largely that. I guess the only thing I really learned, you know, apparent is that there is a deep state. And there are people who believe that they are responsible for setting the foreign policy for this country and not the president as defined in the Constitution. And that was concerning to see two long-term career diplomats who really, in almost an arrogant way, took umbrage at the president even considering pushing Ukraine in certain ways, and especially in ways that already been approved going back to Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Between Ukraine and the United States, that both countries would work together and push each other to ferret out any type of corruption involved with government, and especially with funds that would come from the United States for security purposes, which was interesting to see that the last administration gave them blankets and MREs. This president has given them tank-busting missiles, and yet he's supposedly the problem child for what's going on. No, nothing new came out, and in the end, when the last question was asked, and that was of two individuals, can you name anything specific that was an impeachable offense for the president? And there was crickets in the room. And these are the star witnesses.
The president, last night in Louisiana at a rally for the gubernatorial candidate there, said he has talked to some Republican members who actually say that the proceedings are helping them. They're seeing poll numbers go up, and the longer impeachment goes and the more the public sees about what Democrats are doing could actually help candidates. Were you one of those members telling the president, let's keep this impeachment hearing dragging on?
No, I'd love to see it end. I think we ought to get on with the work that should be done here. USMCA is extremely important for my Hillsdale farmers and manufacturers.
Yep.
It has been ratified by the Mexican government. They've put in place a number of things that are important for labor. Canada is ready to ratify, and they've told us, parliamentarians have been in my presence saying, as soon as you ratify it here in the United States, we'll ratify it as well. This produces more jobs, more security for our agricultural industry, our manufacturing industry. We ought to get it done. I think there are a good number of my Democrat colleagues, including two I've talked to here in the state of Michigan, our delegation, that want to see the vote taken. And Nancy Pelosi is the one that's holding it up. If we could get that done without the impeachment thing. They talked about if they were put in the majority, the Democrats, they would fix health care. We've not done that yet. We've not fixed the prescription drug high cost, surprise billing, a number of other things that we ought to be working on, and we aren't because, well, today, for instance, nothing is happening except the impeachment hearing. This week, sitting on the arguably the most powerful committee in Congress, Energy and Commerce, I had one subcommittee hearing this week. That was it. So impeachment is causing problems for the American people. I think they'd be better off, and I think they'd be happier if we got over this impeachment blitz that's going on. And again, Scott, I think you and many of your listeners understand this is just Democrats not being able to get over the fact that people spoke in 2016 November and gave us this president because they didn't want what was same old going on. They wanted a disruptor. He's done that. But the economy is stronger because of it all across the board. Jobs, unemployment rate, everything is historic proportion, and yet they want to impeach the president.
Congressman Tim Walberg, we had about a minute, but you know, I watch what's unfolding. And I hear what you're saying, but I don't see an exit strategy for Democrats, just meaning that, you know, they've overpromised and underdelivered, which I understand in business you'd never want to do. But, you know, since they took the House, impeachment's been essentially a guarantee. They made too many promises to their constituents. And now that the ball is rolling, I don't see how they can pull back without real harm to their to the party.
Well, it depends. It could be greater harm to continue on. And Nancy Pelosi gave maybe a bit of an indication where her thoughts are yesterday when asked about when the impeachment vote would be taken. She said, we haven't decided that there is going to be an impeachment vote. That's what we're doing all of this hearing about. So maybe she's starting to lay the groundwork for, oops, we don't have a case here. There was nobody that we've interviewed so far that was in the room. There was no collusion that went on. There was no quid pro quo. They've even changed that word now to extortion and bribery.
Bribery, yes, that's the new word, bribery.
So all of that to say they are not finding the ability to put forward anything that I think the American public will say is acceptable to impeach a president.
Congressman,
you never want to make that call to the insurance company. I know I don't, but when you have to, you have to. I'm Steve Gruber, and that's why I trust Mauer Foster Insurance. Just recently, I had to make that call. My truck got banged up, and it needed some work. I called Mauer Foster for answers. What a relief to deal with a team of professionals that knew exactly what I needed. It took one phone call, my repairs were in motion, and now I'm back on the road. So when anyone asks me, who do I trust for insurance? That's easy. Mauer Foster Insurance. In Lansing.
Hey parents, finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean, a fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.